Hey, welcome to the Ags Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Kyle James, and today we're going to be diving in headfirst into how a marketing agency called Grow House is using AI inside of their own business. And we'll share the exact steps that you can take in order to implement AI for yourself. Now, before I dive into that, listen closely. Are you looking to implement AI inside of your own company or just struggling to get your AI to stop hallucinating? Speak to GPT Trainer. GPT Trainer literally builds out and manages your AI agent for you, eliminating hallucinations for good. Go to gpt-trainer.com. I promise you, it'll be the biggest time-saving decision you've made all year. Trying to set up AI on your own is like trying to build a house from scratch. Sure, you could do it, but the time and frustration it's going to take you to get it finished just isn't worth it. It's 1,000 times faster and safer to hire professionals. Once again, that's gpt-trainer.com to schedule your consultation today. Today I have with me Drew Donaldson, who is the founder and CEO of Grow House, a data-powered marketing agency that focuses on hyper-targeted lead generation, AI-powered automation, and return on ad spend optimization. So excited to have you on the show today, Drew. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, super excited for this conversation. So give us some background. You know, what exactly is Grow House and like how did it come to be?
Well, like a lot of marketing agencies, we've really evolved over the years. I mean, when I first started this was a straight marketing coaching business, and that was the whole model. But we ended up in the agency space because a lot of our advice required some level of execution, and we had built these relationships with clients, and they didn't want to go anywhere else. And so I kind of reluctantly started this agency as like just a way to you know, calm the rioters. And so after we launched it, it became a huge profit center for us. And so over time, I've just kind of eliminated the coaching business from my main kind of profit center. I still do it. It's more of a passion project.
Mm-hmm.
But really, we got deep into lead generation because when we were first starting out, lead generation was key. And so that was really the you know, in the B2B services space, we just got really, really good at that. And then over time, with the advancements in AI and the ability to do hyper-targeting, mm-hmm. we just got more and more specific about like how we can generate leads, not just, you know, some tripwire funnel that collects a bunch of people for an email list. It's like, no, like, how do I get a decision maker in front of you so that you can make your pitch and sell your product?
When you say hyper-targeting, like I'm thinking definitely niching down, like what exactly do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so it's using buyer intent data in our campaigns. So a lot of people don't realize, but every time you visit a website and you accept a cookie from that website, those cookies are pooled. Every action you take on that website, every page you visit, every form you fill out, it's all collected and shared on these things called co-reg networks. And there's hundreds of them. And these things are essentially giant data collection points. And if you buy into one of these networks or one of the outflows of these networks, you can get lists of buyers to feed into social media campaigns, cold email campaigns, cold calling, you know, what have you, and use them pay-per-click as well, I should mention. You can use this insight into who is actually expressing buyer intent in a specific category. So instead of just going to Apollo and buying 1,000 leads in a particular category, I can say, well, you don't really need 1,000 leads because 800 of those aren't going to do anything. Mm-hmm. They're not buyers. They're not in the market. They're not interested. I can now eliminate those 800, give you 200 that are in market and run much more efficient campaigns. We can also use that data to create better lookalike audiences, because a lot of times with lookalikes, you know, people, it's a good concept, but if your initial data is poor or not, you know, enough quantity, you can't really use it. Using buyer intent data in lead generation campaigns is really the next step, especially for high ticket business, B2B service based business.
Yeah. I mean, that's like such a big thing, right? With leads coming through is like, are they qualified leads? And like, are they relevant to, would they actually appreciate your services based on like what you're saying is like the data on the back end, like the buyer intent that's coming through? And within like Grow House, like I know you are using AI to some degree. Like, tell me what exactly made you want to decide to start using AI in the first place at Grow House? And like, what types of like challenges were you trying to solve?
Well, initially, I've been in the machine learning and AI space longer than ChatGPT was publicly available. So I was using AI-based tools and machine learning and writing my own algorithms from way back before any of this stuff was public. And because I came from that background, it was always something that was like, if you had a very specific thing to solve, but like I had this one project that we wrote in Python and it had a very specific beginning and end. It wasn't really this wild west that ChatGPT has kind of opened up. And so in those cases, it worked really well. But getting to that point was hundreds and hundreds of hours of, you know, kind of fine tuning this thing to solve this particular problem. So I always kept it in the back of my mind, and I would use these tools and I would test them, but they were never ready for stage time. They were always kind of like, you know, maybe we can solve this using this, maybe not. So really around the time ChatGPT became public, I started to take a lot more notice, because I was like, okay, the widespread adoption of this is going to mean that I can explain this a lot easier, because people are going to understand what I mean when I'm talking about AI and not just think about that movie with Will Smith, right? Like, they're actually going to have some context around it.
Right.
But
right.
It wasn't really until, I would say, like, GPT-3 came out, or 3.5. Last summer, I think that was around the time. I forget the version history of all of them, but it was only around that time where I had an inflow of clients and I was doing a lot of the copywriting manually myself, because that's what my background is in. I've written thousands of pages of copy at this point, from landing pages to ads and everything in between. I know the systems and structures that work, but writing them all out manually is just very time consuming.
Right.
Especially when you have, you know, a backlog of work to try to get through, and you're trying to run a business and you're trying to close more clients. So my first kind of venture into this was, how can I replicate my copywriting style? And that's where I really got deep into prompt engineering, because if anyone has ever just opened ChatGPT and said, write me a cold email sequence, you don't get good results.
No, you don't. It's pretty generic.
It's pretty terrible. And so I really got into, you know, like, hearing you talk about the prompt trainer software, I was like, yeah, I wish I had that when I was starting this, because it was a lot of time at my desk trying different things. And, you know, back then your prompts had to be structured so carefully. Now it's a little more, you know, you can be a little bit looser with it. But you still need to know good structure. You still need to know good instruction. You still need to make sure that you're not overloading it with information, which is the biggest thing I see when clients come in and they're like, can you fix my AI bot or my automation? It's like, it's because they've overloaded it. They've tried to make it do too many things at once.
Right.
And the context window just isn't big enough for whatever model they're using to take in all of that and actually appropriately handle the task at hand. And so when I was going through that, I trained my first couple bots doing copywriting, and then we piloted those with a couple clients. Those turned out really well. Like, they produced results, and we were like, okay, this is actually, we can use
it. So did you like, when you said you piloted it and then sent it to your client, like, were you like selling it as a service to them, or just saying, hey, if you're a client of ours, then you have access to this free, like, I guess, AI agent?
It wasn't even that. It was us doing all the work in the back end. So essentially, like, you know, say we were writing a campaign for a client, you know, say we were writing 3 ads, one of those would be AI based, and we just kind of throw it in. We'd send them all for approval. They would approve it. They'd be like, yeah, I like all 3. We'd run all 3, and then we'd see what the results looked like from that ad. And if it performed, then we knew, okay, it's good enough to meet the human criteria of, like, what we would be able to do if I just sat at my desk and typed this ad out manually. It can do the same thing. And so we didn't sell it until I would say, like, late last year, early this year, because we were still building internally. So I would say for the first 6 months of our deployment was all internal tools. It was like we didn't, like, hide it from our audience or from our clients that we were using it, but we didn't come out and say what you're buying is AI generated, because of the stigma around it. Because people go into ChatGPT and say, write me a cold email, and that's their frame of reference. It's like, they don't realize that, well, we spent 100 hours getting these things to perform,
like, spending
the way
that,
we
spending that time on the back end of it. That's why you're able to get so much of the better results there, is because when you just go to the large language model and just type in a 2-sentence prompt, build me a sequence of emails, or build me some content for a social media post, like, it just gives you basic. You were getting, I mean, it seems like you were getting some pretty good results with it. Like, what type, like, specifically though, like, when you were doing that test phase, sending them those, like, 3 templates of content, like, what specifically, like, in regards to results, were you seeing And even like maybe your clients, like once they started using the AI templated version, I should say.
Yeah. So for, you know, like paid media, we would use AI to write pay-per-click campaigns. We would use it to write social campaigns. And because of the back end time we spent with it to get it to where it is today, we were seeing benchmark results on all of those campaigns, some that even beat benchmark. So that's really how we deployed it, was just like we would have, you know, I have my cold email bot and I have certain form fields that I have to give it. And then once I give it those specific criteria, it's able to spit out ready to mail emails.
When you started to test this out and see the results, like how did it change your business model and maybe like your workflow over the next couple of months once you did see the traction with it?
Massively sped up client engagements, because now it wouldn't take me 2 weeks to write an ad. I could get it done that same day. I could have the ad written before I even had the call with the client to discuss the ad, because you know, I've been in this market for like 20 years, man. Like I've been around the block. So if a landscaper comes to me, I kind of know who their audience is. I know what they're
doing. Yeah, you're familiar.
Every once in a while, some crazy business will show up and I'll be like, I know nothing about what you do. Like sit with me for 2 hours and tell me everything about this.
Yeah, because I'm close. Yeah, that's funny.
But 9 times out of 10, that's not the case. And so I can take what I know and what I know works and then have that ready to go on that initial call, which not only kind of, it's that surprise and delight element. It's like they think they're coming in to write this ad or work on this landing page or whatever. Sure. And I'm like, it's already done. Like all you have to do is read it and approve it. And so it sped up our time to delivery significantly. It reduced the amount of manual work I was doing. I still go through and like copy edit. Like AI is not perfect. It will get, you know, I always tell people it'll get you 80% of the way there. The other 20% is that human element that it can't pick up on. And I think the big thing, just going back to like the mistakes people make when using AI, is that what they don't understand is that AI prioritizes two things: pattern recognition and efficiency. So sitting at your desk, like if we imagine like the old ad writers and art directors in the 50s at like Ogilvy, right? Mm-hmm. They'd sit in a room for 8 hours kicking around ideas for, you know, one ad for one client or campaign or whatnot, right? It's not the most efficient way to do it, but they came up with some really amazing campaigns because through that brainstorming process and trying different things, they were able to hone that message and hone that tagline. AI doesn't do that. AI looks for what is the pattern in the data and what's the most efficient answer I can give them to deliver that result. And so that's not to say the results aren't wordy. It's just to say, it doesn't want to work as hard as you want it to work. So you're still going to need to go in and fix that 20% where it's just like, yeah, I wouldn't say that in an email. I don't. Or like they sometimes AI will like throw in weird things like, I hope your day is going well. It's like, I'm trying to get it to like 50 words. Like, yeah, why are we using 10 words on like, I hope you're doing well, or three words, right?
Yeah, that's so funny. It's crazy how like, I mean, just, you know, that's the thing, right? It's, because more and more companies are using AI, like that last 20% that you're talking about, where like you'll go in and fine tune it, your team will fine tune it. Like that's what makes the difference. But the initial going from like one, you know, the one valley to the hilltop is like the AI can get you that first hilltop, but that last bit of climb, that's where the real skill kind of comes into play, which is the human aspect of things, which I mean, the humans will always be here, right? Can't get rid of the humans. Thankfully, hopefully not like Terminator style, right? You know? But you know what I mean? So it's like, it makes that big of a difference when you have like, I had a conversation on a last podcast I did, and they made a bookkeeper AI agent. And they said the funny thing was the people that were using the bookkeeper AI agent was bookkeepers. Like they were using it to like speed up their process. And so like, I see that like that trend there where it's like the people who are using the marketing AI agents are the marketing professionals. So they can just amplify. It's not like they're going to be the regular Joe out in the street using marketing, like, because that's not their expertise. It's the experts using the expert AI agents that will make their next, you know, project that much more efficient and more effective. So
yeah, I mean, it's old school illustrators complaining about Photoshop. That's all it comes down to, right? It's the people that the teachers that you had in high school that told you couldn't use the internet for research. Like it's the same kind of push against progress that. There's really no thing to gain by doing that. Mm-hmm. at the end of the day, like, I've met with marketers that are a little long in the tooth and they refuse to use AI and they don't believe in AI and they, you know, believe AI is the devil. And the reality is they're going to be the ones that are out of the jobs. It's not going to be people like us that adopt it and use it and leverage it. Because at the end of the day, it's still a tool. That's all it is. And like the most clear way you can see this is because AI doesn't understand the core human elements that make up that last 20%. It doesn't understand subtext, context clues. It doesn't understand empathy or emotion because you can't program those things yet. Now, maybe there comes a time where we get to 100%, but the climb from 80% where we are now to 100% is going to take a decade to get there.
Right.
It's not going to be the rapid pace of advancement we've seen because it's the same thing with internet, right? Think about how long we had we had dial up, and then a couple years later DSL came out, and then after DSL came cable. Do you have faster internet than you had 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Maybe if you're paying for a higher plan, but there's not some new fancy thing. It's incremental improvement. Right now we have fiber optic and that's a little bit better, but not everybody has it. And the next thing, you know, who knows what it is, but we've hit a point where the advancement in that space is going to be much slower from here on out. There's still going to be amazing things. There's going to be amazing advancements, but they've already run. I mean, you got to 80%.
Like, yeah.
You only have 20% to go, but that 20% is the part that's the difference between making something sound robotic and like ChatGPT wrote it and making it seem real and human and authentic.
Yeah. It's funny to think like that perspective of like how much of a climb we still have when you get that first, like I said, mentioned going up to the hill, that first hilltop. Man, we can go to the second hilltop just as fast. Not so much. Like, it's going to take time just looking at history, which is, I think, that's a great perspective that you've shared there, Drew. So walking a little bit more through about GrowHouse, like, I know you've got you're using AI in great capacity on the marketing side. Like, what are some of the maybe like upcoming AI initiatives that you have planned out for this year, next year? And then where do you see AI playing probably like the biggest role and your operations next?
AI powered automation is really where we're focused on now, is because automation, you know, I've been in automation for a long time, and a lot of the manual work that you would have to do to get an automation to work is quickly being replaced. Now, I think automation and agent base still has a long way to go, because there's still, you know, I go try to build an agent that checks your calendar for free and busy using Google Calendar's API, and then tell me that agents are ready for prime time. They're just not.
Yeah, dude, far off.
I've spent hours on simple agents that just won't work because of whatever, whether it's the prompting or the API call, data coming in, or the context window or whatever. They're just not ready for prime time. That said, there's a lot of things you can do with agents now that is fascinating and streamlines workflow. But I think we're coming into a place where people are seeing these amazing things. They want them for their business. They have no idea how to do them, or if they've tried them, they've got so lost in the sauce that they have no path forward. So it's kind of like standing outside a car dealership and looking at a Ferrari. It's like, it's so close. It's right there. I could just get through that window. I could touch it, but the car dealership's closed and you're not getting in. Right.
Yeah.
So our big initiative moving into Q3 and Q4 is really going to be pushing some of those services in terms of like building out and maintaining them. Because I think that's the other piece that people don't realize is in the old days of automation, once you built something, you were kind of done. Like, as long as the APIs you were using didn't change, which most of the time, if you're using legacy services, there's not going to be a huge API change.
Right, right.
The agent function of this changes constantly. And you constantly need to go in and check to make sure they work best, and that, you know, the newest version of ChatGPT or Claude or whatever you're using is performing in the same way. And if they depreciate, like, you know, say you built something on like ChatGPT 2 and it's been depreciated, well, you need to now update that prompt and update it and test it and go back through those rounds of revision. So we see it as not only a service to build, but also maintain.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good space. I mean, automation, that's essentially what AI is, right? It's just automating things as much as possible, whether it's like even through AI, make.com, N8N, Zapier, or some other automation. Like, it's going back to saving time for people and for businesses. That's take your time, save it, put it towards something else that's going to bring in more revenue. So as we wrap up here, Drew, I know we've got a few minutes left here. Like, for those listening in, like, very curious to learn more, but like, where can they learn more about you? And then maybe a little bit more about GrowHouse.
Sure. So I will say I'm kind of a social hermit. I don't really post all that much on social media. I should. My team posts stuff for me, but
yeah.
I'm kind of more of a lurker. And the only place I'm really active on is X. That's kind of where all marketers and AI people have kind of congregated. So that's where you'll find me. And it's GR0HAUS, which, by the way, if anyone knows Greg Rowhouse, if you could get me in touch with him, I'm trying to buy his handle for like the past 3 years and I cannot get a hold of this guy. So it's GR0HAUS, or you can visit us on the website, GROHAUS.org, and you can book a call with me. I'd love to talk to you and see what you're thinking, see what's possible.
Awesome. I love it. Thanks, Drew, man. Appreciate you being on the podcast today, AI Chronicles. Looking forward to maybe potentially having you on in the future. And for those listening in, remember, if you're looking to implement AI into your business today, don't try and do it yourself. The time and stress that the AI could cause just isn't worth it. Schedule a call with GPT Trainer and let them build out and manage your AI for you. Once again, that's gpt-trainer.com. Signing off for now. Have a wonderful rest of your day and looking forward to seeing everyone on the next episode of AI Chronicles.